really bad, guys, if you can turn me off here or something. It's going to mess me up hearing myself. All right. I heard a couple of you laugh. Yeah, because you hear me. That's right. Glad you're here today. I'm going to wait till they get the sound right before we really get going. But are you guys hearing that? Or is it just me? Let me move away from that thing or something. I feel like I'm talking to me right here or something. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles, and I want to share with you today that Sunday is coming. It's a powerful day, and the significance of Sunday, the significance of a day, it's very, very significant. And what a dramatization, if you will, of an exact day. And thank you, Trey, for that. Jeff, help me out back there. All I can hear is myself, and so I need some help with that. I know it's hard to get all these sounds right, but that's, there you go. All right. Now I just was so loud up here I couldn't hear myself think, and that's scary if I can't think. All right. Open your Bibles. We're going to be going through several passages today, and today is the day that I want you to put your thinking cap on, sit up in your chair, grab a pen and paper, and be ready to go. I want you to really think through this, because the Bible is very clear, and it gives us some things that we do know. We do know some things in the Bible as far as exact times and dates, and it is the Palm Sunday before Christ came. And so what I attempt to do today is to help you in your own mind, in your own life, to see what God is doing in your life today, this very day. Now, today is Sunday. We realize that next week, Friday's coming, and the time of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection as we celebrate Easter. But today I want to, if we can, go into the Scriptures, dig deep, and see exactly what God's trying to tell us. Put your finger in Daniel 9, 24 and 25, Daniel chapter 9, and also in Luke chapter 19. And that's where we'll be going back and forth today as we try to figure out what God is telling us in our lives and figure out exactly what God is telling us about Sunday. I want to make a couple quick comments. There's a French atheist. His name was Voltaire. He despised Christianity, and he also despised the Bible, and he said this, and I quote, "We cannot destroy Christianity until we destroy the Christian Sabbath, which is called Sunday." That was by Voltaire. Now, let me give you an explanation of the Sabbath, which is not Sunday. The Sabbath is actually Saturday. If you were a Jewish person in here today, the Sabbath to you would be Friday night to Saturday night. That is actually the Sabbath. But to Christians today, we've used Sunday and we've called it the Sabbath, but that is not correct. But let me tell you why we do that. See, the purpose of the Sabbath was to simply remind the Israelites, the Jewish nation, of their deliverance from Egypt. And so Sunday to us as Christians is simply to remind Christians about the resurrection of Jesus. And don't forget that. Don't forget that. Sunday is the day that Christ arose. Sunday is the day that Jesus came out of the tomb. That's a day of celebration for us, and that's exciting, and that's why we celebrate. But Sunday is an important day. Sunday is a day that we come to learn and have joy and excitement about the Lord and Savior because He has resurrected. Isn't that special? I believe it is. And so we need to remember that. But I want to show you several verses today that I need to show you. Now, put your finger in Luke, but go back to Daniel, and let me just give you some scripture that I want you guys to go home and look at with your families and understand them. If we look at Daniel 7:25, it says, "He," that is the Antichrist, "shall speak words against the Most High." The devil is going to speak words against God. And it says, "He shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Are you wore out here today, Christian? "And he shall think to change the times and the seasons," and your translation may say the law. The devil wants to change the times and the law and the season. The devil, like Voltaire, would love for us to have Christianity destroyed. And I believe one part is that, is by destroying the day we call the Sabbath, destroying the day that we worship the Lord. Sunday is a very important day. Mom and Dad, everybody, if you would, look up here. Teach your children to honor Sundays. Teach your children to honor Sundays. And as I unpack this sermon in just a little bit, you'll see why it's such a special day. But teach them to honor the Lord's day. Teach them to be faithful in worship. Mom, Dad, don't let your kids hear me, and I'm not being legalistic, but don't let them work on Sundays. Let them come to church and honor the Lord on the Lord's Day. Please don't hear me as a legalistic, but as an honor to God. I want you to talk to them about Sunday. And I want to make a special request today. I'm told that we have quite a few people that listen to us on the web. And so you people who are listening on the web, I would pray that you would be here physically and worship with us. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we should never forsake the gathering of believers and the fellowship of believers together. So would you come physically very soon? So why am I so emphatic about Sunday? Well, let me explain. As we turn to Luke 19, open your Bibles with me, and we're going to read verses 28 through 41, and this is what we would call the triumphal entry. And the Bible says, and when he had said these things, that is Jesus, he went on ahead, and going on up to Jerusalem, and when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olive, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say to them, the Lord has need of it. The Bible goes on to say, so those who were sent away went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, his owner said to him, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road, and as he was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Remember, they had been with Jesus for 3 years, and they had seen him feed the thousands and heal the sick and let the lame walk and the blind to see. They witnessed all this. And they said to him in a loud voice, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and in glory and in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Teacher, tell them to calm it down. Teacher, don't let them rejoice. Teacher, keep your people quiet. Jesus says, I tell you, if these are silent, the very stones would cry out. Let's pray this morning and ask God to bless us and open our hearts. Father, I pray that you would help us not to be Pharisees and Sadducees and live so hard by what we think is right or wrong, but Lord, that we would open your word and that we would cry out, Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna, the great King. Hosanna, the one who reaches and teaches people for Christ. Father, put our opinions aside. In this great day, this Sunday, let us worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we know about this scripture. Here's what we know. We know that Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, not a horse, but a donkey. And we know it was on a Sunday, and I'll give you that in just a second. You will want to know this, in fact, so listen very carefully. Every gospel writer in the Bible talks about the triumphal entry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have what we call the synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then John is not considered a synoptic, which means similar or the same. And so, but in this case, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit driven through man to write this, breathed in God's word, had every gospel write the triumphal entry. And I'll give you chapter and verse in one moment. Very important for us to realize. This was a phenomenal event. Hear me today. The triumphal entry of Jesus was a phenomenal event. It was a particular day as well. And it wasn't just any Sunday, but a very particular Sunday. In fact, I'm going to give you the date. It was April 6th, 32 AD. And I'll prove that in a minute. But on April 6th, 32 AD, Jesus had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a Sunday. This Sunday, if you will, literally connects the Old Testament with the New. Literally connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. And that is powerful for a guy like me that loves the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I study them apart. In other words, they're all one Bible, and I love it all. But I love to read the Old Testament acting like I don't know the New, and I love to read the New acting like I don't know the Old, even though I do. Try doing that, all right? But do you really think that the people in the Old Testament could read the Bible and not having the New Testament see Jesus? I do. But for us, knowing the New Testament, we go, oh, Dummy should have known that was Jesus. You know? What's the old joke of a squirrel's in a tree and finds a nut, what's it called? Jesus. You know, it's always the answer. In the Old Testament, they didn't know that. They were looking for the Messiah. But we see here this particular day, April 6, 32 AD, ties that together, fulfilling one absolutely amazing prediction. Let's go a little prophetic here this morning. Think with me. Listen, think with me. Here we go. What's the significance of Sunday and Palm Sunday? Well, in Matthew 21, 1 through 9, in Mark 11, 1 through 10, in Luke 19, which we just read, 28 through 40, and in John 12, 12 through 19, they all talk about this magnificent triumphal entry. They all reach back into prophecy, if you will, into the book of Daniel, which they learned the Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, knew the scriptures of Daniel. And they knew that on an exact day, the Messiah would be unveiled as the deliverer of God's people. Now turn with me to Daniel. Turn left if you're in the Gospels. Not real far, but kind of far. And go to Daniel chapter 9. And I want to read to you verses 24 and 25 of Daniel chapter 9. And they're also on the board if you're having trouble finding them up on the screen. The Bible says 70 weeks are decreed about your people. These are the Jewish people. And your holy city, this is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know therefore and understand. Underline that in your Bibles. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of the anointed one, your translation might say the Messiah, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. We know right here that this is prophecy. We know right here that this is an exact time. Now, as we read these scriptures, it's in your bulletin, and that's the 6 points. We see that if the people would have received Christ, we see that if the people would have believed in God, He could have fulfilled prophecy. He could have been the great King that they looked for, but they saw Him, and we know this because of the New Testament, and received Him not. So Daniel lays out for us, if you will, an unveiling of when the Messiah will come. Now listen with me, I want you to believe me this morning. If you were a Jewish Hebrew person, you knew the book of Daniel, and you knew that from the going of the command to rebuild, you knew that there was a day that Christ, the Messiah, would be unveiled. And you should expect that and look for Him. And I want to go with you the rest of this time to help you be thinking about that. But you might say this, Pastor Billy, you mean to tell me this was not just any Sunday? Do you mean to tell me that this was a Sunday with an exact meaning and timing? And that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, I am telling you, Palm Sunday had an exact meaning and an exact timing. And I want to unpack that for you. You got to think with me this morning to get this. Let's look at it. Here's what we know. Here's what we know by using the Word of God. We know that in 586 BC, we know that Jerusalem was decimated by the king Nebuchadnezzar. We know that. We also know that refugees came back with Zechariah, if you read that, and Ezra, and Nehemiah. We know that Zechariah, after 70 years, went back to rebuild the wall. And we know that Persia was the big government of the time. And we know that Artaxerxes was that king of Persia that actually gave the command to go and rebuild in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So, since we know that, we know the very day the command came out. Make a note, go home later, or talk to me later. I want to show you in Nehemiah where Artaxerxes says that. Because when he says, go rebuild, we know that the clock starts. We know that the clock starts. And the clock starts to finish transgressions, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. The clock starts. Now what you must understand as you read Daniel, that you have to interpret and have an academic knowledge, I guess, of what 70 weeks is. Now 70 weeks in the Bible means this. Weeks is hegstad, which means a bank of years. And so that would mean this, 70 times 7. 70 weeks is 70 weeks of sevens. 7 times 70 is 490 years. 70 banks of weeks of seven, don't let me confuse you, stay with me, is 490 years. God tells us that from the going out of the command, I have a time period for my nation of 490 years. That's a beginning point, and that's an ending point of 490 years, and then my nation will come to the six things that we just talked about that are on your bulletin. Are you with me? Everybody say yes, or oh no, one or the other, all right? My wife does not like when I preach prophecy, but I love preaching prophecy. I had to tell her that. I love it. Now, boom, the clock starts, all right? When Artaxerxes gives a command to Nehemiah, and I'm going to give you that exact date per the Bible. But this very day is very clear, and we know exactly when the Messiah is going to come. We know by the Word of God the day that the Messiah will show up on His triumphal entry on a Sunday. And we know that. And we know that because we read the Bible, and we know that the Jewish people that started out saying, Hosanna, remember? We just read it in Luke, Hosanna, and laid out the palm leaves, Hosanna! And yet, like Trey showed up here just a minute ago, just a few days later on Thursday, they said, Crucify Him! Crucify Him! And as I read that, what about you? You know that Christ is going to return one day very soon. And is it Hosanna, Hosanna, today and then maybe tomorrow, crucify Him? I want you to be thinking about that in your own life. But as I unpack the 77s, stay with me, please. Stay with me, please. The exact day that Artaxerxes gave the command is March 14th, 445 B.C. March 14th, 445 B.C. We have that right in the Bible. According to me, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So Daniel 9:25 says, Now know therefore that from the going of the command on March 14th, 445 B.C., know that 70 weeks is prophesied. But as we look at Daniel, he breaks it down. Know therefore and understand in verse 25 that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of the anointed one and prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Now, 7 weeks is 49 years. 7 times 7 is 49. And here's what we know. We know that from the going of the command, it took 49 years. Now, you say, Pastor, they built the wall in 52 days, and you would be correct. But study ancient history, and you'll know that it took 49 years to build the streets, to build a community, to build the city was 49 years. The wall was 52 days. So there's prophecy fulfilled. And then for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and moats. So we also know that there's going to be 62 weeks of 7, which is 434. So from the completion of the city of the 49 years, to the completion of the walls and city, to the streets, and to where Jerusalem was up and running full-blown again, was another 434 years. So now we're at what? Everybody say it. 483. Because 49 plus 434 is 483. I went to school. All right. So we know that after 483 years to the day, which is 173,880 days, I think I put that in your bulletin for you, we know that the Messiah should show up. We know that it's a Sunday where God Himself will show up. To me, this is the greatest prophecy we have in the Bible. We know this, March 14, 445 B.C., using a lunar calendar, which is laid out for us, we see that Sunday, April 6th, A.D. 32, God presents Himself as a sacrificial gift for all mankind on this day. What a day. Swindoll, if you read him, calls this the most amazing prophetic thing he's ever heard of. He says 5 centuries before the day, God drew an X on the exact day Jesus would appear as the long-awaited Son of David, Messiah. This was Jerusalem's golden day, says Swindoll. And if this, his own people had not refused him on this day, just think what it would be like for the Jewish nation today. But again, I'll say it, they received him not. Go with me quickly to Matthew 24:7. If you're visiting with us today, I love to use the Bible and use references. I don't like my opinion, but I love what the Word of God says. But I want to challenge you today with this verse. In Matthew 24:7, Jesus is foretelling of the destruction of the temple and of the time of the close of the age. And he says this, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are yet but the beginning of the birth pains." Have you been watching the news lately? Do you see that nations are rising against nations? And I'll say this out loud. America, be careful not to turn from Israel like it looks like we are. Be careful. Leaders of our nation, don't turn from Israel, but we will. The Bible predicts that nations, all nations, will turn against Israel, and that will let God's glory shine through them as God takes care of them. Listen to me today. 490 years are required, and we know that 483 have been done. There's a period of 7 years left for prophetic Israel. And why do we look at this verse? Because there will be war, and there will be famines, and there will be earthquakes. So 490 years is a requirement to fulfill Israel's prophetic program. So why is Sunday so special? Hear me today. Not only because it was the day of our Lord, the day of our Lord on Palm Sunday, but the day out of the grave, the day that He rose again alive for me and you. It was the day that everybody knew the Messiah proclaimed Himself and also became alive. People, this is of an immense, listen, significance. Again, how do we know this was a Sunday? Go to John in the Gospels, chapter 12. I just want to teach you today. I'm not going to preach much. I want to teach you something today. If you go to the Gospel of John, and I believe it'll be on the screen, look at John 12:1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. 6 days before the Passover. So we know this was a Saturday. Saturday, still today, is 6 days before the Passover. So in your mind's eye, you know that. But I go down to verse 12. And the next day, what's the day after Saturday? Somebody say it out loud. Sunday. The next day, the large crowd had come to the feast, and they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. It was a Sunday. What a powerful day. It was an exact day. The next day. April 6th, 32 AD. You might ask me this, Pastor, how does all this apply to me? So what, it was on a Sunday. Now what? Who cares, right? Number one, listen to me. God had an absolutely perfect timetable to provide His Son, Jesus Christ. And God has an absolutely perfect timetable for you and for me in my life. Everybody look at the poster. I believe we need hope today. And I believe that hope comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And I also believe that Jesus has an exact timetable for us. See, I often hear things like this. Oh, I made a huge mistake. Now what? Or, oh, this is a very complex situation I'm in. Now what? Or, why did this event happen? Or, why is this trial going on in my life? And we try to explain away all the difficult troubles and all the challenges in our lives. Men and women, boys and girls, listen to me. God has a perfect timetable for you and for your life. And if God allows anything into your life, remember, God is sovereign and He is powerful and He, yes, God is directing. God is directing the affairs of your disappointments and your appointments because He has a dynamic plan for your future. Jeremiah 29:11 will be up on the board. You guys know that verse. It's a great verse. And many people have it memorized. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope." God, yes, God, absolutely has a timetable for you. Write this down. This is a great statement. Your adversity can help you further accomplish your will in your life. Your adversity will and can help you further accomplish your will in your life. Are you going through a hard time right now? God's will come through. God's will come through. And number two, why do we need to know this, what I taught today? Because the exact prescribed means of transportation for Jesus, I taught you today. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that I gave you an exact prescribed way that the Bible teaches. In other words,
When people come to you and say, why should I love the Bible? Why should I love Jesus? Why should I believe in the Word of God? Pull out an exact. Go to Zechariah 9:9. Go to the Gospels and just barely go left. Just a little bit. Zechariah says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." God will provide everything you need if you will just turn to him. God has an exact prescription for your life. Now, everybody listen. If I were a businessman or if I had a job, well, I have a job. If I was you and had a job or was a businessman, I would give it all to God. I would give my whole life and surrender to Christ because Christ shows us over and over again his perfection and his exactness and that he can take care of us. But so many of us would say, oh, just little old me. I hear this all the time. People don't need me. I'm not important to anybody. But I say to you, God needs you and you're important to God. And that's what matters. They, the little Jewish nation, if you will, should have been waiting in anticipation and excitement for Jesus to appear. I know the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew that this day was coming quickly. I know that they knew that the day was here. And what did they say? Y'all be quiet. Don't be worshiping Jesus. It's terrible, people. They should have known that their king was there. They should have realized that the king was in their hearts. But they didn't. They had a momentary acceptance. Hear me today, everybody look up here. They had a momentary acceptance. Now this is, I just want to give you this. Go to 2 Thessalonians quickly. It's to the right quite a bit of the Gospels. I got to show you this verse. This is something God gave me actually last night, and so I wanted to put it into here today. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12, this momentary acceptance has really got my attention. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, it says this, "Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This momentary acceptance of Jesus Christ means this. Some people are here today and they say they believe Christ. They say they love God. They say they need God. But really, the Bible tells us that it's a momentary belief. It's Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna on Sunday and crucify him on Thursday. You know what happened? And you know what happens to us? You know what they did, the Israelites? I've shared it with you. They said they loved him, Hosanna, but they said crucify him just 4 days later. Are you hearing me this morning? I want you to picture this in your mind. Jesus is riding in on a donkey. And I actually was going to bring a real-life donkey in today, and they talked me out of it. But Jesus was going to ride in. I was going to ride it in. I said, no way. So, but just imagine a cute little donkey, and Jesus riding in on it. And he's very mild, and he's probably very peaceful, and he's a very loving man. Yet the people saw him and did not receive him. John chapter 1, this will be second to the last scripture I refer to today, but please hear this. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it says this. "He," that is Jesus, "was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." All they had to do was truly receive him, and they did not. How about you? The Bible says that we need to receive him. The Bible says, and if we don't, the stones will cry out. Which leads me to my final point, the importance of worship. Everybody look up here and listen. How long has it been since you just stopped and worshiped God? How long since you just closed your eyes and raised your hands and told Jesus, your Father, Father, I love you. Father, I love you. Father, I praise you. Father, I thank you for what you have done in my life. How long has it been? Listen, God always, 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 always wants to be with you. God will always do things for you that you can't do for yourself. Oh God, how great you are when you truly believe in Him. I close with Hebrews 9:28, and I pray that you'll underline this and that you'll think about this verse today. It's a powerful verse, and it's a verse that makes me ponder in my mind many thoughts. And I pray today you'll think of it. It says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, we've preached about it today. He was crucified on the cross. Having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. The Bible says, will appear a second time. There's an X on God's calendar when Jesus will appear again. Can you hear me today? Not to deal with sin this time. Not to come and be a sacrifice for your sin. But to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. To save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. People, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? How about you? Are you ready to receive Christ? And eagerly waiting for Him to scream out Hosanna and not crucify Him. Bow your heads with me this morning. I know we went pretty far and pretty deep. But I pray through the Holy Spirit you would have an understanding of what we spoke of today. And I pray that today God would reveal Himself to you and that you would realize His exactness and that you would realize that He wants you. So today, this day is a special day. What about you? Is this the day that God has planned for you to receive Him? Is this the day that God has planned for you to rededicate a life anew to serve Him? And not just a momentary acceptance, but a lifestyle. In everything you do, you give God the glory, a lifestyle change. Father, I pray that you would give us courage and boldness today, this day, to make a decision for Christ, to pray to Christ, and to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Father, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.